following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Okay, if you would, turn to 2 Corinthians 2:11. We're just going to look at three verses. But I do believe this will encourage us, folks. Listen up. I like to see the deceptions that the enemy gets and moves in, and the more light you have on what he does, the more freedom you can walk in. And there's a fascinating truth I've never seen before, but let me reveal it. We're going to look at the two root lies behind every temptation. Now, 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, we're not ignorant of his devices." See, wisdom is more valuable than treasures. And truths that can expose the underpinnings of the enemy's tactics is something you really want to get a hold of. Now, guys, listen, temptations are a fact of life. You don't seek temptations, they're going to come, right? In fact, we're told, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." They are going to come, just like exams and quizzes. How many of y'all in school right now? Some of y'all being homeschooled. If you're homeschooled, do your parents give you pop quizzes? Okay, when I was growing up, we got these things called pop quizzes. I hate them. Out of the way. Oh, good morning, class. We're going to have a test today, you know. See what you know. Well, you know, the purpose of a quiz and exam is just to see if you've learned, been paying attention, learned anything. It's exactly what temptations are. God allows them to come to see if you're going to make some right choices. Otherwise, you have to go back around the mountain. Now, Jesus did say, "Pray that you enter not into temptation." But at the same time, he said, "The flesh is willing." The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. And so don't pray for them. Trust me, you don't have to pray for temptations. They'll find their way in your direction if you just walk in this world. Well, the truth is, temptations are actually golden opportunities to overcome. It's just like an exam, a test. If you can finally pass that thing, you can get promoted. Okay, so that's the best way to look at temptations in our life. And it's actually a roll of the dice for the enemy to bring a temptation, because it's a roll of the dice. Because if you overcome, you grow, you're more mature, you have a new anointing, you have more wisdom. See, and he doesn't have the same ability he once had in your life. And so you can kick him in the head. It's like a snake sticking his head out. You can finally kick him in the head. Well, what's interesting is we can see that really all temptations have fundamentally two lies. Now, this is fascinating. I'm going to show you two more verses. Every temptation, I believe, has two root lies. And I believe as we find security in the truth, we become less susceptible. So I hope you can get this. And it's real simple. Genesis 3. We're going to look at two significant temptations. Satan tempting Eve and Satan tempting Jesus. This is fascinating. And you'll see the root lies behind every temptation. And when you ponder it and consider it, I think you'll agree with me that that's something that could be so. Genesis 3 is the first temptation in the Bible. We all know the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Yea, has God said you should not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said, "Well, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you should not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." And the serpent said to the woman, "You should not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes will be open, and you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil." Now, if you study the scripture in the previous chapter, that direct command did not come to Eve, it came to Adam. And so she heard it second. How many of y'all have ever, when you hear something from somebody else, sometimes it gets a little twisted and then come out the same way? See, God didn't exactly say what she said he said. She added something to it. God just said, "You should not eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden." She said, "Well, we're not supposed to eat it or even touch it." Now, she added to God's word. That's why we tend to embellish things secondhand. But nevertheless, the bottom line is she knew she needed to have them done. So the enemy subtly injected doubt. And then he got her to enticed. And there's a root applicable here. Now, let me ask, here's the principle. I'm just going to look at two principles this morning. And I believe they underlie every temptation in life. You ready for the first one? This, I believe, is a root behind virtually every temptation we have, this one or the other. And it's questioning what God has said to you. Satan questioning what has God said to you. See, bottom line is God speaks promises to us. Listen carefully. God speaks revelation to us. God speaks rhema over us. God speaks in our life, particularly when we first come to Him. He gives many of us visions and dreams and goals and whatever. And often in the beginning of your walk, you have these things. Okay, I know when I first came to Christ in the early 70s, there was clear, significant visions and dreams and pictures and a number of things that there was this thing God was going to have me do one day. Now, at the time, it seemed, you know, ludicrous that I could ever come to that place. I could ever move in those realms. I could ever acquire those types of things. But nevertheless, God gave me this promise. And I think the reason He does that, give you hope. You know, to give you hope, because it's going to be, and you see that perfectly mirrored, remember, in the Joseph story. Joseph had dreams, even as a young man, that all these people were going to bow down to him. Remember that? His mom and dad and his brothers would bow down. Well, he was just a snotty-nosed kid and had no business telling his brothers about the dream. One day, all y'all going to bow down. I saw it in a dream. Well, that did nothing but make him mad. And if you read the story of Joseph, you know, they threw him in a pit and sold him as a slave. And he began to go through, and I think it was 17 years, guys, of trials and tribulations, betrayal and things going wrong, and ended up, you know, serving faithfully and lied about by his boss's wife and ended up in prison and, you know, and then helping people, and they betrayed him and didn't think about him. And finally, after 17 years, when he was dead, and kind of completely free from self-ambition, and then guess what? He was catapulted. Y'all remember the story at Pharaoh's right hand? That is one of the most amazing stories in the Bible. It really is. It warrants that, you know, there was that play done. Joseph Electric Color Technicolor. But it really warrants a serious series. It's a wonderful, wonderful story in the Bible. But it shows a pattern, and I can show that pattern in many other lives in the Bible. From Paul to Abraham to Moses, many of them. God gives an initial revelation. You got to go from the promise to the testing to the fulfillment. And what happens is Satan fundamentally is going to question, what has God said? He's going to put doubt in you. He's going to say, you know, in fact, look at this verse. You got to see this. 1 Timothy 1:18. This is so important. Paul literally told these guys to use that promise as a warfare weapon, because the demons are going to hammer you on it. 1 Timothy 1:18. I was going to read it, but I want you to see it. Apparently, Timothy had the same thing. He says, this charge I commit unto you, son Timothy. Look at this. According to the prophecies which went before on you, that you by them might war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have been shipwrecked. In other words, there were prophecies. There were words given to you, Timothy. Hang on to them. Hold fast. Hold firm. Get through, and they'll come to pass. In 1982, I had just gotten this wonderful job, and I was this wonderful career, brand new. I was right out of college, and I had a company car, and everything was going well for me. And I went off to Hot Springs with some friends for a vacation, and I really loved my job. And it was in sales, and I was doing very well. And we were climbing the mountain in downtown Hot Springs. If y'all ever been in Hot Springs National Park in the city, there's a mountain in the middle of town. All right? And you climb it, and we got up to the top of the mountain, and there was this guy sitting on a bench. And me and my friends walked over to him, introduced. Turned out he was a pastor of a local church. And we said, well, you know, we were Christians down in Houston up for vacation. And as we walked away, we walked around to the bend where there's a lookout. And I never forget, I happened at that moment to tell my friends that I had a dream one day that I hoped I would one day pastor a church. Just, I don't know, I don't know why I shared that. And then we came back around that road, and that pastor, as we were walking by, waved and said, come back over here. And I walked over there. He says, look, as you were walking away a few minutes ago, the Holy Spirit gave me a word for you. And he pointed to me. I went, what? He said, yeah. He says, he wants you to know that he has every hair on your head counted to take care of you. But something's fixing to change in your life. It has to do with your job. He knew nothing about my job. I didn't say a thing about my job. He said, God just wants to know he has every hair on your head counted. It has something to do with your job. So we went down to the bottom of the mountain. I remember I sat down. I wrote that prophecy down. You know, somebody says something. I wrote it down a little. A day or two later, we drove on back to Houston. That next Monday, I walked into my office. Walked in. My boss said, come here, I need to talk to you. Y'all kind of know what's going to happen. The early 80s, the recession hit Houston. I got laid off that day. I mean, this was a heartbreaker. And just like a brand new company car, just laid off. I mean, you know, the old last hired, first fired. I ended up, everywhere I looked, I couldn't get a job, couldn't get a job. And finally, my daddy's, a guy who ran the business with my father in New Orleans, offered me a job to be a rep with their company in New Orleans and rep it in Houston with the oil bit industry. But it involved moving to New Orleans. Well, I was part of a community. I had a Bible study going. I had friends. I didn't want to go to New Orleans. I left home. And God spoke to me and said, I need to go back. I had to go back to New Orleans, and I moved in with my brother in Metairie. And one night, I'm out walking, and I'm walking out trying to have a quiet time, frustrated, just mad. And I looked at him. The Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, don't you remember the word on the mountain? There had been a prophetic word. And don't remember, I've ever here. I haven't. Listen, it was while I was in New Orleans, that 6 months, that a brother came to me and encouraged me to go get some deliverance prayer. And it was while I was in New Orleans, and I in Louisiana, I went and got prayer. I came over to Houston for to deliver some Christmas presents to some vendors. Stopped off in Beaumont and got some deliverance prayer. Guys, that was the birth of this ministry. But you know, all hell hit me because God had given me a life preserver. God had given me a word so that when I went through all the trial, I had a promise to hang on to. Now, I would ask you to consider, has God given you a word like that? Has God given you a promise? Was there someone that had a dream or a vision or something for you in your early years? Ponder it, because Satan wants to dissuade you of it, talk you out of it, and question it. And that's exactly what he said to Eve. Has God said to you? And I tell you, that's one of the fundamental things he does in regard to temptation. He's trying to talk you out of the promise that God's trying to bring you into. And some of those promises, you can't even believe them. You know, it's just hard to fathom that I could ever be that kind of person to God. We have such a low self-esteem. We have such a low sense of, you know, self-hate. We don't believe. And the demons bang you on that. You're no good. You think God's going to use you. Look at all the garbage in your life. And I'm telling you what, that's exactly where Satan hits you. Do you see that? That's the underlying root of virtually every temptation. Because it disappoints you. It discourages you. It frustrates you. What the heck? What's this Christian life all about anyway? I'm just going to pedal my bicycle, my tricycle, then get in and die and go to heaven. Hopefully. You know, no, God has a plan for you. I know the plans I have you, saith the Lord. Not of good, not of evil, but of good, to give you an end in expectation, Scripture says. God has a plan. Are you understanding the root attack? I'm trying to expose Satan's lie. Guys, it's good to remember, just like he told Timothy, war, good warfare, because the prophecies put on you. Now, here's the second lie in conclusion. You ready? Luke 4. How about when Satan came to Jesus? He came to Eve, and he said, has God said to you? Question God's word. Now, this is fascinating. Luke 4, we say the same thing. Listen, Jesus had just come from his baptism, and you know what God said from heaven over Jesus? This is my beloved one. Had Jesus heard an audible voice affirming his sonship? Pretty clear. If you hear from heaven, you're my son. Well, look what happens in verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, were led by the Spirit in the wilderness, and being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when it ended, he was after hungry. And the devil said unto him, if thou be what? Command that this stone be made bread. Look at verse 9. And he brought him to the Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said, if thou be what? The Son of God. Folks, here we see the second root. The first root was to question what God has said to you. You know what the second root is? Question who you are in Christ. Jesus had just heard audibly, he's the Son of God. And so Satan wanted to say, are you who you really are? Do you really believe who you are? Do you really believe the testimony of God and what he said you are? And that was what he had Jesus with. And he left, I'm the Son of God. What do you mean, if I'm the Son of God? I just heard it from heaven, I'm the Son of God. Yeah, but if you were the Son of God. Do you understand? Let me tell you how, let's flesh this out. These are the two fundamental lies. The enemy's going to hammer you. Your life's not going to mean anything. You're never going to achieve anything. Other people have greater calls. Other people are going to come into a higher calling. Other people's lives are going to have more meaning. You'll be lucky if you get to live in the suburbs of heaven, maybe the fifth ward, the ninth ward, maybe the back quarter of heaven. You're a lot. That's Satan. Folks, that's from hell. Rather than Warren saying, Satan, get thee behind me. He that began a good work will perform it. God has called me, and he's predestined me, and he will complete the work in me. Get thee behind me. He will fulfill his calling in my life in Jesus' name. Do you understand what I'm saying? War, good warfare. God will get you there, but don't let the enemy dissuade you and sell you a cheap lie. It's part of the pattern in Scripture. Because, you know, he gives you the promise, but usually when you get the promise, you're so full of yourself, he can't use you. When you get the promise, you're so deceived and so self-seeking and, you know, twisted. So you got to go through the trials period. Could be 5, 10, 15, 20 years, I'm telling you, because the time is determined on you. You can go plan A or plan B or even plan C. It's up to you. Plan A is he says do something, you do it. Plan B is he says do something, you don't do it. Then he has to give you through your hell and you finally do it. Plan C, he says do it, you don't do it. He brings you through hell, you still don't do it. So then he brings you through hell and heaven and earth and Hades and everything. Finally, you okay. Then you do it. That's plan C. Right? I won't talk about plan D. We don't want to go there. Plan apostasy. The word is full of truth. You're a new creation in Christ. Your fellow heirs. You're seated in heavenly places. All authority is given in you. All right, we are living in the heavenlies. Our role in life is thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. My whole job is I'm seated with Christ now. My whole job is to walk around life, like our sister said, bind on earth what's bound in heaven, loose on earth what's loosed in heaven. That's my job. That's who I am in Christ. I'm already there. I don't have to do nothing to get there. I'm already there because of the blood, period. Abram, you recently come to the Lord, right? How long have you known the Lord? Since you really put your pedal to the metal, just recently. You know what? He may have recently come to the Lord. I've known him 37 years. Do you know, in the eyes of the Lord, I ain't no higher in the heavenlies than him. Dude, we're seated at the same place. The only difference between you and I just may have been around the block a bit, have a little more understanding, a little more seen things. Dude, as far as authority, we're the same. Isn't that cool? It's not like, oh, I've been real good all these years, so I'm high. No, forget that. We're all there because of the blood. That encourages me. In fact, really, it's when you're young in the Lord, sometimes God uses you more. Because you don't know that you can't raise the dead, heal the sick, cleanse a leper, and command storms to stop. When you're all wise and got a lot of experience, hang on, you know, then you get all this junk. By the bottom line, guys, is the second lie is to question who you are in Christ. And that's what I'm trying to hammer us on. It's real simple. We're seated in the heavenlies. You have all authority in heaven and earth. Act on it. And don't listen to the demons, because they're going to hit you in two areas. God's never going to bring to pass his original promise to you. Or you are never going to fulfill. You, who are you? You're not who he says you are. Look at all your sin in your life. And you know what's interesting? Both of those can be defeated, simple, by the blood of Jesus. Satan, get me behind me. It's the blood of Jesus that makes me righteous. So I want us to pray. First, I want us to ask God to affirm the promises that he has for you. Right now, let's do that. Say this after me. Jesus, make clear to me the promises over my life that you have indeed called me and you will use me for your eternal purposes. Forgive me for selling myself short and believing my life won't have meaning. And these may be the testing years, but I know he that's called me will perform that perfect work and bring me into my destiny. Now let's pray this. Lord, I pray you would deeply reveal and seal the truth of who I am in you, of where I am in you, of what I can do in you. Satan, you're a liar. I bind your lie from my life. God will perform. God has set me in my place with him. And I crush you under my feet. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, I pray now as we go, you would seal the truth of God's word and revelation and understanding right now. Come, Holy Ghost. Come, Holy Spirit, right now. Just seal that. Let the word of truth go deeply in our spirit as a weapon of warfare against the powers of darkness. Everybody say it. Amen.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.